This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken.
This morning we are visiting the other side of theology, the very existence of evil. Sharon will read from the fifth chapter of the prophet Isaiah, and Dr. Wyatt will deal with the reality of sin and that evil is.
Yes, Dennis, evil is. This is something many wish to ignore, deny, or just avoid. But evil does exist, and is what the word of our Lord has provided an answer to. I hope you will stay with us.
Woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may run after strong drink, who tarry late into the evening, till wine inflames them. They have lyre and harp, timbrel and flute, and wine at their feasts, but they do not regard the deeds of the Lord, or see the work of his hands. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deprive the innocent of his right. Therefore, as the tongue of fire devours the stubble, and as dry grass sinks down in the flame, so their root will be as rottenness, and their blossom go up like dust. For they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts, and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel.
Thank you, Sharon, very much. I have had Sharon read this fascinating passage from Isaiah, because I want to entertain, if not the toughest theological question, at least one of them. It is the question of why evil. This is not any present reading, but something that is on my heart. For here Isaiah is speaking to a people who are so irreverent, indifferent to God, and brazen in their unbelief that their lives have become totally calloused, self-absorbed, indulgent, even cruel. They have rejected all moral authority in their pursuit of their own pleasures with no fear of any consequences, and obviously stupidly, no fear of God. So Isaiah identifies them with the Hebrew alas or woe, a word that reveals the prophet's despondency, for these are his people, a nation he cares for. The prophet's feeling, his vision, is as real today as it was nearly 3,000 years ago. And I fear Isaiah could be speaking to us, our civilization, our culture, and I believe in fact he is. Here in his way, Isaiah answers the question as to why there is evil, why bad things happen, and also the answer to what God plans to do about it. It is a quandary of why is there war? Why do people do such things to one another? And if God is so powerful, why does he allow all this madness? These questions are frequently heard, puzzled over, even by sincere Christians. Questions that if one has not voiced them, they have lingered in the back of one's mind. This question of evil, sin, of bad things happening is complex. The ancients approached this with fear and trepidation and would deal with it in rituals and sacrifices to appease their gods. The capriciousness, if not mischief nature, of their pantheon of gods and goddesses had to be placated with proper reverence, expensive offerings, or great and dear sacrifices, all to win them, hopefully, to your side. The ancient Israelites, when they entered Canaan, would be confronted with a particular repugnant form of this appeasement, where it involved passing their children through the fires of Moloch, infants burned to death in the flames of their altars. In fact, human sacrifice was widespread in those days. To win the gods' favor or blessings or move their hands to help in battle or to bring the rains required severe and even horrific sacrifices. Such efforts were, of course, not confined to human sacrifices, but every known debauchery and depravity has been associated with such religious efforts to mitigate or remove evil, and various forms of such appeasement, unfortunately, still linger. People have, and I'm sure will continue, to use their fears, uncertainty, imaginations, superstitions, and go to great and bizarre extremes to alter or mitigate bad things, any perceived evil, travail, affliction, or unpleasantness. Human behavior, you see, really hasn't changed. But all such efforts do not change evil either. In fact, when we look at this through the lens of scriptures, all such false and arduous efforts only add to, accentuate, or magnify the evil. All such efforts were, of course, ineffectual, even pathetic, and they were often as evil as the evil they would try to mitigate. Yet even today, there are those who use talismans, various objects, all meant to alter such misfortune or perceived evil. The difficulties, the unpleasantness, the afflictions will still remain. As the ancients had no real answers to alter the evil, nor do those so-called moderns. The modern efforts, be they called naturalism, idealism, materialism, pragmatism, existentialism, whatever the ism, all struggle with the same problem, evil. Do you blame others? Just accept it or ignore the existence of evil? Others would perceive it as simply the survival of the fittest, or declare that all of life is just a cruel joke. Are our options just more superstition, rituals, empty of hope, an unrealistic existence where one insulates themselves from all unpleasantness? Or declare that our evolving to self-awareness and rationality actually means nothing at all? It is Nietzsche and Nagel all over again. Philosophy without revelation, science without purpose, ritual without theology. It is life as absurd or nauseating. So it has been written by some luminaries of this modern thought. Such thinking is why our world is floundering without hope, direction, or meaning. But there is an answer to evil. It is not an easy one and will not satisfy everyone's desires or all our problems in this life. It involves the very initiation of evil, its beginning, the inauguration of sin, and the consequences of human rebellion. All answers must center in God. Those that remove God as unnecessary, that we have, they believe, move beyond such things, that then we can just ignore this idea of God. But then they will have no answers for the viciousness, brutality, or injustice of our world. And as a matter of course, surrender any meaning to this life. We must instead face reality without surrendering meaning, confront evil, and the same with sin, suffering, and yes, death. This is, in Christian thought, called theodicy, upholding God's holiness, goodness, and justice while allowing the existence of physical and moral evil. But to live and experience such physical and moral evil is not some philosophical or theological exercise. Too many of us deal too often with the inexcusable, the irrational, to debate that if God is all-powerful and all-good, why is there evil, and why doesn't he just eliminate it all? This cry may sound rational, but only briefly, for it offers no actual answers to the depth and breadth that is our life. Gods of limited power, limited moral demands, and limited knowledge are human constructs and of no help whatsoever. We seek answers to questions that are timeless, substantial, and meaningful. A real way to understand the harsh glare of pain, suffering, and evil in a world where an all-loving, all-just, and all-powerful God does exist and cares for humanity. This God, as Judeo-Christian thought has always proclaimed him, is a God that was not and is not obligated to create or remake anything, yet is a God for his own reasons, to achieve what he would intend, has chosen to create rather than not to create. But why this sin and evil? Here Isaiah speaks as only he can. There are those who willfully, deliberately drag such evil with them, deride God, challenge him to prove himself and his purpose. Those in their words and deeds call evil good and good evil, see darkness as light and light as darkness, set before others bitterness and call it sweet. They pervert all existence. It is humanity where sin is celebrated, debauchery becomes a path to fame, where the worst of our nature is called great art, and we are inundated with evil as enlightenment. God, to have prevented such perversion of truth and beauty, would have had to create humanity as automatons or moral robots, certainly not as free-willed moral creatures. That is the choice. There is no other. Yes, creating mankind free was God's choice, with the reality that this world would be the result. Yet his choice was that our free moral choices would make it possible for us to grow, mature, to develop strong and deep character values. We would simply not grow if we never had to struggle, if nothing ever confronted us, if nothing ever went wrong, if we were never tempted, we would never know our strength, or if we could resist. And we do dwell amidst constant moral and physical decisions. God's intent is that we are to conform to his image. This conformation is not a short-range goal, but God's ultimate purpose for us, an existence fit for the very presence of the Holy One of Israel. Of course, there is also another ultimate existence for humanity, one also of choice. One devoid of God and all his love would wrap us in. God has sent the sunshine and rain on the righteous and unrighteous. The blessings of his world is available to all, the just and unjust. In a world where human choice has brought us the ravages of nature, disease, corruption, misfortune, sin, and evil, where the consequences of such fall on the righteous as well as the unrighteous. Yet our faith is not so limited. Our faith, our God, cannot be judged solely on the warnings of such consequences if mankind ignores his law, nor on our espousal of moral ideals. But it is about our actions, our choices. Our faith is to elevate, enable, not drag the faithful into some sort of spiritual slavery, and invent even more barbaric ways to kill, engender fear. Instead, we are meant to live in freedom, a freedom of love, grace, and mercy. Of course, we can close our eyes, part company with the prophets, apostles, and preachers of our faith. We could, as C.S. Lewis said, separate ourselves from the deepest experience, the richest of hopes, the fulfillment of our fondest desires, and then regard moral law as an illusion, refuse the idea of the holy and righteous, and then turn to barbarism, worship our own handiwork, venerate the idea of life force, but the cost will be heavy if we have eyes to see. What will be born is a life of barrenness, callousness with no restraints, the epitome of what is evil, sin run rampant with no boundaries. The choice is ours, and that is why evil is. God's wish is for much more for us, and it still lies all within reach. He desires our good, and our good is to love Him. We often desire a God that is a pale imitation, something manageable and tame, a God where we can sneak off and indulge ourselves, ignore the abuse, the bullying, where we would be left to our own petty works, where we do not have to bother with state avarice, governmental stupidity that produces poverty, human degradation. Don't bother me with facts that require that I too need to sacrifice to see the right prevail. We might wish that His call, our life in Him, might weigh less, cost less, wish for an easier destiny, but that is not wishing for God's love. We have not been brought to a jovial God like Santa Claus, some kindly grandparent. He is not a great host who seeks only our comfort. Our God is a consuming fire. He is at work to purify us in His fire, that we might be that unblemished bride. Here is where all the questions of sin and evil are answered, for He is in the suffering and death of one enigmatic Jewish rabbi, and it answers it all. God in Jesus Christ called the whole world in its desperate need, calls for an end of this present evil age. For here God Himself entered the pain, torment, injustice, and death of this world, took it upon Himself, the cause of it all, the sin, inequity, the disfavor, the separateness. Here the King, the Bridegroom, the Lamb, was exiled and executed outside. Here He paid it all. And then He vindicated His own, set Him on David's throne forever by raising Him from the dead. Jesus, that is the answer. Here the fall was erased, Satan defeated, and all of God's people can enter by the open gate to drink of the everlasting water, bask in the eternal light, eat of the heavenly manna, and know pain, sorrow, and death no more. Evil now is, because of our sin and rebellion. We brought creation down upon us, but God's answer was to take it into Himself, remake it, and us who will. The rest, like chaff, will go to the figurative fire. The choice is ours. O Lord, we will always find it difficult to fully understand all You have and will continue to do for us. Even now, You wipe away our tears, all fears, and every wrong. Continue to make us Your own. Heal us of every error, every sickness of soul and body, that Your kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. For the glory of Your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen.
Sadly, what we've heard pertains very much to what is happening today and the condition that this world is in. Yet, as we have just heard, God has provided an answer to this degradation, corruption, and evil that would assault us. There is hope, that is, always hope, if we will but open our arms to receive it. If this is something you want to understand and embrace more fully, Dr. Wyatt is offering this week a copy of his book, The World's Hope. This very perceptive study deals with the very answers that you will not find in our popular news outlets, for the only hope is our Lord. So do write to us this week and share with us your own thoughts and ask for The World's Hope. It is yours at no charge. Well, dear ones, we want to tell you how much we appreciate all of your prayers. And we pray that you will consider being a part of our outreach. We would love to include you in our Wings of Healing family. Supporting this ministry makes you an integral part of a ministry that brings help and the word to so many, both here and abroad. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V
6J4N1.
Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org.
Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon, so much. One does not like to speak of evil, but we all have to know we do not contend just with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. I do hope you will ask for the book, The World's Hope, for our Lord is the only true hope. We need to stay vigilant and pray for patience, endurance, and His love to cover us. As our time comes to a close, Dennis will give our addresses once more. And now we want to share Robert York's majestic Worship His Majesty. My prayer is that you continue to worship Him until we meet next week.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available. Dr. Wyatt is also offering this week to all who will write a copy of his book, The World's Hope. This is an insightful study into just what our world requires, for there is only one hope for the world.
This book is a must-read. So do write and ask for the world's hope. It is yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time and remember what God has promised to those who love Him.